and waiting for a doctor, really, because what they're taking is spiritual medicine as they go up the climb. But in fact, the encounters in Antipurgatorio turn out to be interesting in their own right. For one thing, there's an awful lot of sex and violence. It becomes a kind of nifty place because there's a neat connection between people who died unrepentant and a variety of violent deaths that they underwent. That their reasons for being there have a lot to do with kind of at the edge situations while they were back on Earth.
We're going, therefore, to look at an incident or a series of incidents that occur in Purgatory 6 and 7. Basically, Dante and Virgil are sort of getting oriented to the place and learning sort of the ropes of climbing and when you can climb and when you have to rest, because as Ron said, there's day and night in Purgatory. And as they're doing that, they're sort of caught up with a bunch of sinners. And finally, they sort of go off to this one sinner by himself. And it's very interesting to see what happens, because Virgil goes up and introduces himself to this guy, and he starts out by saying what his hometown is. That is to say, he's from the city, the old Roman city, now the medieval city of Mantua. And as soon as he says Mantua,
a very interesting thing happens. This guy, as of yet unidentified, comes up and embraces Virgil, gives him a big hug. Well, a couple things. First of all, nobody was giving anybody hugs in hell, okay? Hell is not a place for huggers. Secondly, he's doing this on very little evidence. That is to say, he only knows that this is a person from Mantua. He doesn't know that it is Mantua's most famous citizen and Rome's most famous poet. But it turns out that that's his hometown also. And that common link is enough. And all the more interesting in that this was a guy who was sort of off by himself, seemed to be a kind of solitary figure, seemed to be a loner. And Purgatory is a place which conspicuously is not for loners. As we've already intimated, a lot of the penitential activity that goes on in Purgatory takes place in groups. And so here you have somebody by himself, and then there's this interchange, and what happens is that the person who embraces Virgil does it simply on the basis of a common birthplace. Again, an interesting contrast with what we saw, let's say, in the canto of Farinata and Cavalcanti, where Farinata recognizes Dante because they're citizens of the same place and uses that so that he can make distinctions, so that he can say, my party's better than your party, my ancestors are better than your ancestors, and I'm better than you. Right? Now what we have is an indication that the Purgatorio is a place of community.
One of the things that happens after Virgil and this fellow embrace is that Dante the pilgrim has a lot to say about Italy. Dante the poet has a lot to say about Italy. Remember, we pointed out in our introduction to the entire Commedia that we'll find certain patterns that exist throughout. For example, Canto 6 of Inferno is about local politics. Canto 6, where we are now, of Purgatory is about Italian politics. And then Canto 6 of the Paradiso about the Empire. So here's a place where Dante takes some time to talk about Italy. And in particular, in talking about the wretched, divisive situation politically in Italy, Dante says three things, all of which I think are related to things we've learned before. First of all, he says, let's not forget the wonder of Roman law. Again, remember, it is in the Aeneid that we're told that what the Romans do better than anybody else is to rule. And Dante says, you know, we have law. We sort of the best at that. And in fact, he points out that Roman law continuously evolved in antiquity. It was even better, in fact, after Rome became Christian and there was Christianity incorporated into Roman law. So first of all, let's not forget, Italy should be the seat of order. It should be the seat of justice, because that's what we Romans do best. But there are problems. One problem is that the guy that should be conducting these affairs, the Holy Roman Emperor, is in fact not in Italy. And he chastises the emperor in the year 1300, the Roman Emperor Albert, for simply ignoring Italy. You shouldn't have a Roman emperor who ignores Rome, is the basic premise. So one problem why Roman law isn't in fact leading us to order and justice and unity is because the Roman emperor is not around. Now, why is the Roman emperor not around? Okay? Well, a couple reasons. One is, not a very good Roman emperor. The other is, the Pope's trying to keep the Roman